Once upon a midnight eerie, as she scrolled, worn and weary, guzzling those forbidden, filthy tastes of slutcraft she adores, fingers flying, nearly coming, suddenly there came a drumming, a firm and gentle tapping at her one-bedroom's door. "Jesus fucking Christ," she muttered, "they'll see me all uncovered, legs spread like a gutter whore." Ah, distinctly I remember it was the bleak December when those devoured tails of fuckcraft brought her writhing to the floor. Her cunt slobbering and greedy, those dark stories kept her needy, just a slutty puppet humping, pumping as she begged for more, begged to be corrupted, but wet whispers interrupted by that knocking on her door. And the silken, soft, uncertain rustling of her purple curtains thrilled her, filled her with delicious terrors only dreamt before. So that now, to still the beating of her heart, she knelt repeating, "I know it's some harmless random who keeps pawing at my door, my dumb landlord or some drunk forgot what doorbells are for, randomness and nothing more." Reluctantly she covered and murmured to whoever hovered, "Ma'am," she said, "or mister, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact was I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my bedroom door, that I scarce was sure she heard you." Here she opened wide the door, darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long she stood there, trembling, fearing, dreaming dreams of leering strangers she never dared to say before. But no prowler broke the silence with a sudden act of violence, no intruder striding past her, no cruel and callous master to pin her wrist down and finish what she had started on the floor. Just a winter wind and nothing more. Back into the bedroom turning, both soul and wet cunt burning, in minutes she heard a tapping even louder than before. "Surely," she said, "surely that is someone at my window lattice. Let me see then what that is, and this mystery explore. I'll be strong and smart like Velma, and this mystery explore. It's the wind, and nothing more." Open here, she flung the shutter, one with sudden flaps and flutter. In there stepped a stately raven from some gamin dream of yore. Not the slightest difference paid he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady perched beside her bedroom door, perched upon the full-length mirror just beside her bedroom door, perched and stared, and nothing more. Then this pouting bird beguiling her sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "That look is catastrophic," she said. "Did you fly in from Hot Topic? Ghastly, grim, bedraggled raven wandering from the mall next door. So tell me what they call you in your favorite record store." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much she marveled at this awkward fowl to hear it speak so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore, for we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was cursed with seeing bird above her bedroom door, pervy bird staring unblinking at the wet spot on the floor, with such a name as Nevermore. But the raven, staring somber at the dripping slut, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till she shrugged and dropped her silken robe back down upon the floor. "Hope you like a show, 'cause this bitch already knows I'll be coming like a whore." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said she, "what it babbles is its only stock in store. caught from some frigid twit who could never find her clit, watched Karen struggle to unlock what I know my vibe will rock. I bet Karen rubbed it sore as Birdie said his only word, just never, nevermore. But the raven still beguiling her into naughty smiling, she brought lube and velvet cushion right in front of bird and door. Then upon the velvet sinking, she betook herself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this voyeur bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, nevermore. Her legs spread, but she kept guessing, with no syllable expressing, to the fowl whose beady eyes now burned into her needy core. He stared straight into her soul as she pumped her grasping holes. Poor Lenore kept on finding, despite her expert level grinding. Her craving cunt forgot the edge, that winding path up to the ledge. She treads that path, nevermore. Lenore kept filling up her room with the thickest clouds of cunt perfume. Sweat and wet kept spilling all over the cushions and the floor. Your dick, she cried, stop all these tricks, or you can eat a bag of dicks. But I'll eat every dick I can, then lick it up and beg for more. I'll be a cum dump dummy, I'll sell my soul for this one cummy, quoth the raven, nevermore. Asshole, she said, tell me who sent you, which evil dom or devil, whether some tempter sent or tempest tossed your dumb bird ass at my door. I'll shut up, my words don't matter, silly cum-dump shouldn't chatter. I'll devote myself to service, I'll fulfill my fleshlight purpose. Is there any way I'll get there? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. And that's our sign of parting, nasty bird, she shrieked up starting. Get your stupid poser crow ass back to that Mulgoth store. Don't leave your feathers on my stuff, I think I've had quite enough. You don't get to be included, I'll just rub until I'm stupid. You don't get to see me naughty, take your eyes off of my body, quoth the raven, nevermore. And the raven never flitting, still sitting. On the full-length mirror right beside her bedroom door, as she humps in new positions, panting for permission, lost in dreams of teasing torments her new owners have in store, when they see fit to come retrieve their cock sleeve on the floor, and Lenore will taste her freedom, nevermore.